Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
And we are rolling along on this Thursday on Vanessa and Gallant. I am at Sports Vanessa. He is at Gallant Says. We are appropriately named Vanessa and Gallant. Kicking off a Thursday, and we are still in the middle of this MLB lockout. I know that players are starting to tweet about it more. Fans are starting to get restless. It does not seem like the season will start on time, and we certainly know there's not going to be the opening day and all the fun festivities.
Yeah, it does feel that way. I suppose an agreement could be reached this weekend. But
hopefully.
If, on one hand, baseball's owners, who have locked out players for 85 days, are saying that a deadline of Monday to get a deal done must be hit, otherwise they're going to cancel games, and on the other side, you got the players who are not even acknowledging that this deadline has been set, it stands to reason that, at the very least, there will be a delay to the start of the year. They want to have a full spring training so no one's injured. And that they're also, on top of there being a delayed start to the year, there could be games that get outright canceled too. And owners wanting that and threatening that seems stupid. Personally, I think that on their end, they are going to end up hurting themselves as far as revenue. They probably think that if they starve the players a little bit and take away from their salaries, that they'll get them to come back in. But I don't know. I feel like delaying the start of your regular season, baseball has a perfect thing going for it in that it starts just as NHL, NBA seasons are coming, regular seasons are coming to a wrap right before the playoffs. Do you really want to start in the middle of basketball's playoffs? Do you really want to start in the middle of hockey's playoffs too? I don't know. I think that's something they got to think about. There is a time where they are at the center stage of everything before the long summer, and they're thinking to themselves, yeah, whatever. You know, with this dispute between us, no one that's standing around, the entire restaurant that's staring at us as we shout at each other awkwardly, like they're going to be fine with us showing up the next day. And the reality is, no one wants those people around anymore.
And this was the reality, Paul, during COVID. This is the reality now. And you bring up a really good point about the timeline. You know, when the World Series wraps up November 1st or whatever, they have that stage pretty much all to themselves, right? The NBA is starting up.
Yeah.
We're getting into football.
Midway through the football year. It's not like we have fatigue on
right,
it, but it's
right,
not like there's things that are diverting interest away necessarily from baseball's
right,
playoffs.
Totally.
It's the best time of the year for baseball.
MLB lockout, this is per the New York Post, would cost Max Scherzer $232,000 daily, Garrett Cole $193,000 daily. And to that, the general public says, cry me a river. This is the discussion we get into every year with millionaires versus billionaires. And I always like bring up that the difference is so insane that it's hard to even wrap your mind around between millionaires and billionaires with a B. But I do think it frustrates the general public. And you see people online that are basically saying they don't care about the details. They don't care about the nuances of it. And they don't care about the specific arguments. They just want to get it done.
It's funny, too, that both of these sides continue to leak out their arguments or what the other side is saying to the media. And the media does its job and it relays it to everybody. But I think the average person's like, you guys both suck. Shut up. We don't care. We just want to see you play. We don't empathize with either side. Stop trying to make us empathize with either side because we have no say here. We are just sitting awkwardly waiting for this argument to come to an end. And it's been going on for far, far too long. There's no one here, though, at this table, as you and your significant other argue, that's going to be willing to stand up and say something about it. Because, yeah, there's nothing that can be said by me, by you. It's just shut up and get going. Like, get out of this back and forth. No one cares about your heart, your feelings. No one cares about your plight. They just want to watch baseball.
Players have been, I think, more candid and open than I thought they would. They've used social media. They've utilized their platform, certainly, to talk about how frustrated they are, whether you're talking about videos that are uploaded, etc. One of the things that MLB lockout does affect is the way guys train and the way guys rehab. So you can't obviously be in the facilities when there's a lockout.
No.
And you can't do rehab in the facilities. That is super relevant for Lance McCullers Jr. And he was recently on a podcast with one of our friends, Maniv, who has his own YouTube
channel. Gupta, yes.
He has his own YouTube channel. He is absolutely darling, does a great job. And Lance McCullers Jr. actually opened up to Maniv about how this has delayed his progress a little bit, which is not good, of course, when you consider the injury he has.
Yeah, you know, I've been rehabbing, and the lockouts made it tough because the people I would usually rely on for the rehab I haven't been able to speak to or you know, communicate with. So it's been a little bit difficult. I'm not going to lie. The rehab has been a little choppy. I was hoping to be a little bit further along than I am right now, but you know, we have the unfortunate circumstance of being locked out. So, you know, I'm still trying and still pushing and rehabbing away, but I have been throwing, and, you know, so far everything's been going okay. We'll see as I start moving on to the mound and things of that nature.
One of the dumb things about the lockout, though, that you heard highlighted by Lance there, is that when they lock these players out, they're not allowed to use team facilities.
Yeah.
Why would you want your players who are rehabbing from a serious injury to not be able to use team facilities, regardless of whether or not you're in a fight with them? That just seems stupid. It's like, hey, yeah, you know, we're getting a divorce right now. We're just going to leave, you know, the kids at the house while we figure out who gets possession of the house.
Yeah.
Then you come back 3 weeks later and it's turned into Lord of the Flies or something like that. And the kid's wearing like the dog's head as like a helmet or something like that. Sorry, I just watched Yellow Jackets.
I was going to say, whoa.
It's really graphic.
We are getting in deep.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of the same logic here. Like, hey, we're just going to completely neglect the most important things to us fielding a winning franchise. But ultimately, they don't care. They just want to make money. And that's what this is all about. All these franchises make money. And some along the way don't even spend anything to help that team be competitive. And I think that's one of the other ridiculous things here, too. It's really only like 8 franchises that are run well in baseball. And they're the teams that are good every single year, and they're the teams with all the money. The rest of them are all just lingerers and, you know, mooching off the rest of the sport.
One of the things I always think it's important to bring up is that, obviously, from a sports perspective and a sports talk perspective, you know, we're touching on how this impacts the games. Are they going to be delayed? Will there be games canceled? And we certainly hope none of that happens. But this affects a lot of people. During COVID, there were restaurants around Minute Maid Park that outright closed.
Yep.
Not like closed for 6 months, like they are no longer. And so this affects stadium workers. It affects parking attendants. It affects broadcasters.
It affects little people, a lot of people, as they would call them.
It does. It affects the middle class, the little people, the lower class. And look, we know what sports teams do for the economy. So this lockout, this is why, and I know the millionaires versus billionaires is such a cliche, but that's why the American public gets upset with this, because they're arguing over what we see as very petty details, and it affects people and it affects the city in a real way.
Right. You know, it's, if you've watched Christmas Vacation, the boss in Christmas Vacation who gets kidnapped by Uncle Eddie.
It's a great movie.
He refuses to give out Christmas bonuses to the whole company, and they figure this out. And while he's addressing, yeah, I kind of screwed up here. It's little people like you, he says to Clark Griswold, that, you know, are really what this company is all about.
It's little
people. Seriously, but that's
he does
how,
say that.
That's how these suits who hide behind Meat Shield Manfred, that's what these suits think of everybody. They think about the players. They think it about the people that are their consumers. And you hear some of these guys talk. Like, there was this big controversy last offseason where one of the Mariners executives, and I remember covering this, he was like on a Zoom call with like a Rotary Club breakfast, and he legitimately dumped on every single player in the Mariners organization.
Wow.
Like, it was like a boom roasted session with Michael Scott. And that's who these people are. They think that they are better than everybody. And this moron did not realize, oh yeah, I'm on Zoom with like 80 people and anyone can record this at any moment. So that guy got canned, but he's just one of many executives in baseball. And they all operate like this, but they all hide. They all hide in the shadows. They don't say anything publicly. They just let Manfred take all the heat. I actually feel bad for Manfred in a way.
Really?
I mean, Manfred's just doing what these people are telling him, and he has no real power.
That's Bill Murray's brother, by the way, in that movie. Brian Doyle Murphy plays the boss.
He does look like Bill Murray.
Yeah,
that makes
that's
sense.
That's Bill Murray's brother. Yeah, you feeling sorry for Rob Manfred is surprising, but to your point, the owners are like his bosses, right?
Yeah.
So there's not a whole lot he can do about it.
No. There's nothing you can do about it. And meanwhile, these little, you know, these corporate fat cats up in their ivory tower, they don't have to face any criticism. I would love somebody to actually sit down one-on-one with one of these owners and grill them. Grill them. And, I mean, you don't see that really in the NFL either. But at the very least, I think some NFL owners are willing to speak publicly on things, you know, from time to time. Baseball's owners hide. Like, I don't know who half baseball's owners are. I know who Jim Crane is. I know who the Red Sox ownership group is. I don't really know who owns the Yankees. You know, I don't know who's in charge of a lot of these organizations. And I think it's BS that they get to hide behind Manfred.
I agree. All right, coming up, a big move in the sports broadcasting world that could have a domino effect. Who is your golden NFL lineup of announcers? Who would you have if you could create a broadcast doing play-by-play, one play-by-play guy, one color commentator, one sideline reporter? Who would it be? Text us, tweet us, Twitch us. We want to know. That's coming up next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
As Ludacris asked, what is your fantasy? What is your fantasy? Troy Aikman apparently leaving Fox, this is huge, and heading to ESPN for some football.
Okay, and we're not talking about Jane Fonda and Sally Field. We're talking about broadcasting fantasy.
Because that's your fantasy.
I mean, I thought
also,
about it today.
Paul like thought that he didn't know the song. And I was like, you know this song. And then once but here's the thing.
You told me the name of the song, though. You didn't
sing it for
me.
I said, what's your fantasy? So Paul's like, we'll sing it and I'll know it. So I'm in the lobby like, I want to lick you from your head to your toes.
You do? HR.
Yeah. Hello. all right. Troy Aikman allegedly heading to ESPN. Now, here's why this is surprising, Paul. Mm-hmm. Because it was rumored that he was leaving Fox, but it was almost a sure thing that it was Amazon. Because Al Michaels, who is leaving NBC as Mike Tirico moves into the head spot there, Al Michaels is leaving NBC and is almost certainly heading to Amazon. And Al Michaels has been very vocal. The person he wants as his color commentator is Troy Aikman. So it was widely thought that it would be Al Michaels and Troy Aikman on Amazon. Now we're hearing that instead, Lewis Riddick is getting the boot. I'm not saying Steve Levy will, but it seems like there's a bigger move coming because
they want to have a big name in that booth.
Yeah,
they feel like that reason that people aren't watching it is because the broadcast team hasn't been good. And you've seen, I mean, they've been playing musical chairs with it for a couple of years now.
And the chemistry among the guys and the women has just not been good. Susie Colbert rocks it out on the pregame show, but
Tessitore was obsessed with random special team stats. Jason Witten was a robot. And Booger McFarland, who I like, is, I just think, not someone that should be doing color commentary. I think that he is at his best when he's doing a talk show. When he's loose and he's Booger. Booger's awesome. I remember growing up listening to Booger McFarland on the radio in Tampa Bay. You know, when I was in high school, he would be on the radio. He was awesome. I always loved it. And now that he's on ESPN and he's ESPNized, it's just not the same.
The bottom line is that Tony Romo changed the game because Troy Aikman is looking
until
at
until he started half-assing it.
Possibly
but yes.
$180 million. Over the span of like a decade. So it's going to be crazy. This leaves a couple of questions.
Okay.
Obviously, there's going to be that number one color commentator because for years it's been Buck, Aikman, and Aaron Andrews. They could do a couple of things. They could move Greg Olson, who is now on the number two team, right, as of now with Kevin Burkhardt and Pam Oliver. They could move Greg Olson from the number two team to the number one team.
They really
like him. Now, he's only been in that number two slot for a year or so,
great,
but he's really good.
He was fun to cover in Seattle, too, for the one year that he was up there.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
He was there.
He's got, if you've watched him out there, he's just naturally, I think, conversational. And a lot of these guys aren't, and they feel weird doing it, and they feel like they have to speak in a different voice, or they just don't say anything. Like, Drew Brees is awful in this role. And look, I'm not acting like this is an easy job. It is difficult to move from a playing field where you got teammates and you got relationships to all of a sudden being the spot where you're expected to be critical. But I think Greg Olson would be great in that spot. And if it's Greg Olson and Joe Buck, I mean, I'm not going to lie. A lot of people hate on Joe Buck. I think Joe Buck is fantastic at what he does.
I think he's great.
I think Buck and Aikman, that's been the best duo in terms of NFL play-by-play for a while. Yes, I would even say so over Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth, because Collinsworth has gotten a little bit too positive about everybody these days.
Yeah.
Here's a guy, you know.
A guy. So my question is, what's your fantasy NFL announcer booth?
Okay.
You can pick one play-by-play.
Okay.
One color commentator and one sideline reporter. Now, the other thing is that you can think outside of the box. So you can say Pat McAfee or Sean Payton or Tom Brady, somebody that isn't currently broadcasting but is thought to, you know, we know that Sean Payton's heading to a broadcast. We know that Tom Brady could if he wanted to. And we know that Pat McAfee, there were hundreds of thousands of people on Twitter rallying for him to get this job years ago. What is your fantasy football NFL booth?
Hmm. Okay, so there's no swaying me on this. Kevin Harlan is the best play-by-play voice alive. If you have heard him do Monday Night Football on the radio, this is a guy who can turn a drunk fan running onto the stands, running onto the field, into something hilariously entertaining.
The guy is drunk.
Yes, Kevin Harlan is number one in my book. I think Harlan's your play-by-play guy. The real question is what you do in color commentary. So I thought about this in a variety of different fashions. I mean, if I want to just have a high energy, everyone seems like they're on cocaine kind of broadcast, which I kind of like because a lot of people seem to think that I'm like that when I'm on the radio.
You are very energetic, but we love it.
Right. Stephen A. Smith as a color commentator would be hysterical. Because Stephen A. Smith is not an ex-player, but Stephen A. Smith would be, I think, the perfect, like, just calling it how he sees it kind of color commentator. Now, you need to have an ex-player that does it. Who is someone, though, that really does it like that? Well, here's my answer for if I'm being serious. Richard Sherman. And I know that Richard Sherman, I wanted this to happen with Richard Sherman when I was up in Seattle, and he had his incident this past, over the past year where, you know, he got drunk and he went to the parents' house of his wife, and it was pretty rough to watch, and I thought that he might have killed his chances there. But Richard Sherman is opinionated. Richard Sherman is extremely intelligent, and Richard Sherman is not afraid to dump on people. So I think that your play-by-play guy is Harlan, your color commentary guy is Richard Sherman, and then afterwards, this is where it gets tricky. I think for the most part that sideline interviews generally are, I feel like the sideline reporters just feels uncomfortable.
They're
because,
meh.
Right. So I want to have someone who's just a complete goofball, and this is, I don't know how many people know who this person is, but he's someone that does stuff over at Barstool Sports. His name's Caleb Presley.
Okay.
So Caleb Presley does these interviews where essentially he is just, you kind of have to watch it to understand it, but he is acting like hamming up the worst tendencies of sideline reporters when he does it. And I would just encourage you to check him out because I can't really do a good job of explaining it. But if I'm going to have a sideline reporter, I want it to be someone who is just weird and makes these people as they're going off the field be like, what? What
like
just happened
uncomfortable.
To me? Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Because, yeah, instead of, coach, how do you feel?
Right.
What was going through your mind
exactly.
that last play? One of the answers we get on Twitter, hologram Pat Summerall and John Madden with O.J. Simpson on the sideline.
O.J. Simpson on the sideline.
That's
no.
dark.
Can't let him on the sideline.
But it would be extremely entertaining. We've
Thanks,
gotten a
John.
Couple of Michelle Tafoya's, which awkward. But yeah, I mean, Melanie Collins, sideline reporter, Al Michaels, play-by-play, Tony Romo, or Eli Manning and Marshawn Lynch. See, Eli's very vanilla. Marshawn would add that they actually might go well together because they complement each other so well.
Marshawn actually would be just as effective as Richard Sherman. And I like that Marshawn all of a sudden is finally being a little bit open. And
right.
in my time up in Seattle, hearing all the Marshawn Lynch stories, that guy, there's no one that is loved more in Seattle than Marshawn Lynch is. The guy's hilarious.
He's so. Another one who's intelligent.
But he's also just so different. The problem would be, and this is what the network executives have to think of, because I don't have a problem with it, but the problem would be this guy would take you down some real rabbit holes, and you're going to get fined at least five times a game because he is going to swear.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Keith Jackson, Dave Lapham.
A lot of dead people you guys are suggesting.
Yeah, and Jill Arrington. Yeah, this is not exactly.
Alan Cosell. Someone suggested that Stephen A. Smith, Warren Fawcett says Stephen A. could be the next Howard Cosell of the 21st century. They tried to do that with Dennis Miller, I remember. And the thing with Dennis Miller, who I can appreciate, is that Dennis Miller has references that even I don't get. And I am one for obscure references that don't
right.
make sense. Thus, like Caleb Presley that I bring into the mix here. But Dennis Miller was when they tried to do that. They had Tony Kornheiser in there as well. The only person that is capable of being that kind of a figure where it's a person who is not an ex-player, Stephen A. is legitimately the only one. It can't even be Skip Bayless. It just has to be someone who's an absolute cartoon character.
They pay Stephen A. Smith so much money that it would make sense to have him in that role.
Yeah, why not?
Somebody on Twitch said, I would say Al Michaels, Eli Manning, and a sideline reporter should be someone brand new that they are grooming. Yeah, I mean, look, Eli Manning has been brought up. Again, Eli is just not – when his brother and when Peyton Manning is around, he can poke at him and roast him, and he's funny. In my personal opinion, other than when Peyton is around, Eli's not funny or entertaining.
Not Indianapolis bias at all.
No, I mean, he needs his big brother there. He always has. He cried when he got drafted. I mean, that's just kind of been his thing.
As many Super Bowls as Peyton Manning. Interesting.
Joe Buck, somebody says at Sports Vanessa at Gallant says, what about Joe Buck and Peyton Manning? That could be interesting. Are they too similar, though?
No, I honestly think Manning could be good. Manning would be very similar, I think, to Troy Aikman in that role. Aikman's a little drier than Peyton Manning is. I think that could work. That could definitely work. And we're getting suggestions, too, on the text line. And keep them coming. 713-780-3776.
I forgot we had a text line.
713-780-ESPN.
Can you read some? You know what? We're going to read some of those on the back end because I forgot we had a text line.
We got some good suggestions. So keep them coming.
So coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, what's your fantasy announcer lineup for the NFL? Plus a dramatic BTS reading by PG. That's coming up.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
And we are in it on a Thursday with the big news that Troy Aikman is most likely heading to ESPN after a long tenure on the number one crew, Fox, of course, with him, Joe Buck and Aaron Andrews. And it brings us as the dominoes and the chess pieces kind of fall and we expect some movement to be made, whether that's Al Michaels heads to Amazon, whether that's Drew Brees moves from NBC to a color commentator role, Greg Olson moves up, whatever. What is your fantasy NFL announcer lineup? One play-by-play person, one color commentator, and one sideline reporter. The caveat that I gave everybody is that you can think outside of the box. So you can do a Tom Brady or a Sean Payton or a Marshawn Lynch or a Pat McAfee. You can bring in somebody from Barstool, but you pick three people, one for each role. I never gave mine, so here's mine. Kevin Burkhardt is one of my... I adore Kevin Burkhardt. I've gotten to know him over covering the World Series. I also think he's damn good at his job. He's my choice for play-by-play.
Okay.
Color commentary... We bring in Marshawn Lynch.
Yes.
I think it would be entertaining, and I actually think that with some broadcast help, he would be able to stay on track.
I don't know that you want the broadcast help,
Well,
though.
You want a little bit of tailoring so he doesn't go on all of the tangents.
You know,
I think he'd be excellent. And then my sideline reporter, just to wrap it up, would be Holly Rowe, because she is the best of the best of the best of the best, and it's not even close.
Holly Rowe is very good. And seems like somebody that you would actually want to hang out with, too.
Yeah.
Because, like, has a little personality. Because a lot of the sideline reporters, I feel like they're being, like, typecast. Like, hey, like, be pretty, smile, and ask, like, a short
Coach,
question.
Coach, can you tell me who's starting under center tonight? Yeah. And that's not bashing sideline reporters. That's bashing the way that they're instructed to do their job.
You're 100% right. That's how they're told to do it. You know, something I was thinking about on my drive in, as far as this goes, and I don't know if the NFL would ever sign off on something like this. But I would really love to see a completely unfiltered broadcast. And with Marshawn Lynch, I mean, that would be the perfect person to have as the guy riding shotgun with whoever would be the one steering the ship. The question is, who do you want steering the ship? We got a couple of people suggesting Gus Johnson. Gus Johnson's basketball, you know?
Yeah, that's true. This is NFL.
And while I would love to hear, just like this one texter suggests, I want Gus Johnson to do color for my next time in sexy time.
Oh, God. What would that even sound like?
He's at the finish line. Oh, he went early. Yeah, that would be a bit of a bummer, I think, if you have Gus Johnson on the call. I feel like you would only disappoint him. Gus Johnson is, I think, a little too much at times, and that's even coming from me. Someone suggested Gus Johnson and Kevin Harlan. No, that's just like, I would feel like I'm getting yelled at. Like with Kevin Harlan and Richard Sherman.
You have to have...
Yeah, exactly.
The other thing that's important to remember about this is you want personalities that complement each other. So Kevin Burkhardt is... The reason he's my pick is because I think he's awesome. And then you have Marshawn Lynch, who's kind of the wackier, funnier one, who will say... And then you have Holly Rowe, who's just so good at her job. She's good at pulling coaches. Okay. She doesn't try to make them cry too much, et cetera, et cetera. So you also want complementing personalities. And we are getting some good ones on the text line. We're getting Mike Tirico or Brent Musburger, John Madden, and then Aaron Andrews or Holly Rowe. That's a good one.
Musburger. Musburger would be fantastic. I miss Musburger doing college football with his weird, creepy comments from time to time. And also his obvious, like, he's following the lines of the games and just inserting right. gambling references in. Now that it's more legalized, I think that would be something. We got some really unconventional ones. One person said, Snoop Dogg and Joe Rogan. I got to say this about Joe Rogan as far as sports go. Joe Rogan is very good at doing MMA. The MMA stuff, he is very good at that. Now, I know people have all sorts of opinions on his podcast, but as far as him being an actual sports broadcaster, he is very, very good at that side of things. Again, it's football. I wonder about that. John Taffer from Bar Rescue and Pat McAfee. I love John Taffer with the passion of a thousand suns. I don't know though that one's going to work out because I feel like John Taffer would get too angry, and you can't have an angry guy doing the play-by-play.
Rachel Maddow and Snoop Dogg. So Rachel Maddow would be like, and it's a touchdown.
Some people think I look like Rachel Maddow, but it's only if I shave my beard.
That's disturbing.
That's why I grew the beard, because I look like Rachel Maddow. I didn't want that happening. Imagine if I'd been canceled in Seattle while looking like Rachel Maddow. That would have been very unfortunate.
Lil Jon and Ellen DeGeneres.
Lil Jon and Ellen DeGeneres. Well, is Lil Jon just going to be a jackass to Ellen the whole time?
Right.
Just say, what? Why did you? What? Honestly, because I would like that, because Ellen, I think, needs a little bit of a comeuppance on that front. Someone suggested Max Kellerman. No. Don't.
No, not for an NFL game. Keep in mind, this is your fantasy
boxing,
NFL.
Yes.
You can get weird with this, but you know, you want to also keep in mind that the goal here is to have a good broadcast. We're of course on Vanessa and Gallant talking about Troy Aikman's move from Fox to ESPN. How could those domino pieces fall? With all seriousness, do they replace him with Greg Olson, who's on the number two team?
Yeah, I think so. That's definitely gonna happen. Because they like all of these companies, they will believe in somebody before they actually get put in the booth.
Yeah, that's true.
They'll look at them and say, yep, he's got it. What is it? I don't know. Jason Witten, he's a Dallas Cowboy. That was it. That was it. And they thought that it would work. NBC clearly feels the same way about Drew Brees. Oh, he's Drew Brees. Well, if you've ever seen Drew Brees speak before, Drew Brees is very good at saying nothing. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, and remember when he was trying to tightrope the whole, during the pandemic, all the social justice things that were going on.
Good.
And he was like going back and forth, like trying to make everybody happy. I remember when I saw that and I was like, oh yeah, he's not cut out for this industry. But that's not somebody that I'd want. But it doesn't matter. These people, they generally have the person picked already. And they know who was going to be next man up. And I'm assuming, honestly, that they might have told Troy Aikman, like, hey, we're not giving you a raise because we like Greg Olson.
That could have been the case.
They probably didn't tell him about Greg Olson, but right, that was probably their reasoning.
That's a good point, and important to point out that while we're surprised, Troy Aikman's contract has been coming to an end for a while, so
right.
They've probably...
They know.
Yeah,
they
I like
plans.
This one. Tom Brady and Danny DeVito.
Look, I love Brady, but I don't think Brady would be good in this role.
Okay, this is shocking because you do love Brady. Why do you not think he's going to be a good color commentator?
Because I think only if he's allowed to be unfiltered, and I think very often Brady, you know, tries to say the right thing about everybody. And
yeah,
I don't know. Brady to me, I think, is fun to watch with things privately, but publicly, I think he's still concerned enough about his public image where it wouldn't be. Rodgers might be interesting, honestly. Aaron Rodgers. Now, you would have to have someone high energy next to him that would be on the call. So it could be Gus Johnson and Aaron Rodgers. I can see that actually working in some way, shape, or form.
Dick Butkus, Al Michaels, and Gronk on the sideline.
Oh, just like the straight meathead broadcast.
I mean, that is the frat meathead beer.
I like it.
Broadcast. Not terrible, though. Fantasy of Elmo and Cookie Monster. You guys are just getting ridiculous.
Elmo and
this.
Cookie Monster. Yeah, that's too family-friendly.
Let's see.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Brian Harder says Beth Mowins is not given enough credit for her play-by-play ability. She's done it for a while. Beth Mowins is a pioneer. It would be cool. Corbin Smith.
I want an actual pioneer to do it. I want someone from 1854 to be doing the commentary. And like, how about just somebody who has no idea about how football works on the call?
Yeah.
What's this? Oh, why are their pads so tight? I don't know. I feel like that would be fun.
Corbin Smith says Gus Johnson, Marshawn Lynch, and Jen Mueller, Jen Talk Sports. She's good.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a lot of options here, but certainly we expect those dominoes to fall. We are talking about Troy Aikman and his move to ESPN and your fantasy announcer lineup.
Yes. So, ultimately, the decision that they will make will disappoint a lot of people, too. This is how it always works. So I would think that for whatever they do at ESPN, and I'm assuming, okay, Troy Troy Aikman, he's going to be at ESPN and Amazon. It seems like Al Michaels is heading there.
Yeah, it seems that's what seems more than likely. But ESPN could pull him. That would be huge.
That would be something else if ABC and Disney went back to Al Michaels after they literally traded Al Michaels.
Right. Yeah.
Along with they traded Al Michaels for like a cartoon.
Stranger
like for the original
have
Disney cartoon. Seriously. Now the original Mickey Mouse, who was like some weird ass rabbit, they traded for the rights to him. Al Michaels was part of that trade. That would be weird. Like, I got traded for something from 1930.
Granado, BK, and Vanessa Flash. Does that... Vanessa Flash?
Like, I sports think, flashes or something like that, right?
Like, sport... Like, what?
Oh, that's like on radio. That's a radio thing. Sports flash. It's like, I'm Vanessa Richardson. Here's what's going on in the world of sports today.
I
Deshaun
thought
Watson
were...
not traded. This sucks. We're talking about it again. Kill ourselves. You know, like that. Although, you probably wouldn't be as, you know...
I thought they were implying I needed to flash the audience.
Well, listen, that's a personal choice.
All right.
Also, why am I not included on that? BK, get out of here. No, absolutely not.
Yeah,
it's me.
The disrespect.
It's got to be me. Come on.
Mine is, like I said, Kevin Burkhardt, Marshawn Lynch, and Holly Rowe. But either way, will be very interesting to see what they do with this role as Troy Aikman exits. Could they move Joe Buck to ESPN? And then who would they have do the World Series?
Ooh, yeah. I don't think Joe Buck's ever leaving
Fox. You don't
Fox.
Think he's leaving Fox? You think he's a lifer?
No, he does the World Series and NFL Sundays like in the same week. Buck is to be able to do those things in rapid succession with the way that he does. I know he gets a lot of hate and everyone thinks he hates their team. He doesn't. And honestly, if you've ever listened to him do an interview with people, I mean, he is very, I think, funny. It's a shame that talk show that he didn't work out. Because yeah. Artie Lang came on and just was a complete disaster on it. I think after the show was done, Buck thought that it actually might have some legs. But the show was done after that. Honestly, I feel like they should go back in time and think about that again. Like, if that's your first show where Artie Lang's going to lose his mind on it,
yeah.
I mean, that's probably good. People are going to tune in for the next episode at the very least, be like, okay, how's Joe going to handle the next weird guest that he brings in? Let's have him with Alex Jones or something like that.
The text line says Andre Johnson and Cortland Finnegan.
Ooh.
Well, that would be...
Well, I mean, you'd hear like a lot of muffled camera. The camera would get knocked over as they're like wrestling with each other throughout the game.
Time will tell. All right, coming up as we end Vanessa and Glant on this Thursday, we're going to have some quick hits for you. Rodeo cook-off and more from our guy Tom Brady coming up.
My name is Stephen A. Smith and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
As we wrap up this Thursday and Vanessa and Gallant, we would be remiss if we didn't mention that it is a rodeo season.
Rodeo cook-off starts today.
You're going with the parents. We are all so excited for that. There's nothing like the rodeo in Houston. And obviously with the past few years being nixed because of COVID, this is going to be really, really exciting.
Right. Last year didn't happen. The year before that, I think it happened as everything was starting.
For like a week.
Right.
And then it got shut down
in the middle of it. The cook-off, though, did not get shut down, which was when I went. And that's my favorite time. This is when I generally go. Because usually, you know, you go to a concert at a big NFL stadium. Sometimes it's not exactly the best acoustic-wise. But as far as this next couple of days for the actual barbecue cook-off, I'm excited. But I'm wondering what I should be going after. Because this is going to be an interesting couple of days, too, because it's going to be cold. I mean, I'm not exactly looking forward to going outside today, because this is one of those days where Houston's like, okay, we're going to be 40 degrees today, suck it. And I'm not exactly enthused about that. But what's the best barbecue food that there is?
I mean,
we could go with everything here. We could be talking about
side dishes,
the actual meats itself, etc. If this is all of a sudden a barbecue draft, what are you taking first overall?
First overall, pulled pork.
You're going pulled pork first overall.
Pulled pork, yep. Pulled pork with barbecue sauce on it.
Okay, well you just made a mistake, because here in Texas we do brisket first, and then we do brisket, and then after that we do sausage, but with brisket.
Really good brisket. But yeah, I love pulled pork. I'm going pulled pork. I'm going loaded potato.
Loaded potato. Okay.
And then I'm going baked beans.
Oh.
But I'm making a whole meal.
Okay.
See, if we're going just like top entrees, it would be pulled pork, brisket, and probably pulled chicken.
Pulled
if we're doing side dishes, it would be loaded potato, baked beans, mac and cheese.
I do like me some coleslaw.
Yeah.
On the side. I think it complements everything that you eat meat-wise. But I'm a Texas man now. You know, I've lived here 10 years.
Is that your
accent that I'm putting out here? But guess what? I identify as Texan now. I don't identify as Bostonian, and I just want meat. I want brisket and brisket and brisket, and I also want brisket.
Barbecue in Boston?
No, the Northeast is terrible with barbecue. No matter what all of these, no matter what the liberal agenda wants to tell you,
God,
at the New York Times about how Brooklyn barbecue is the thing, it is not. There was only one good barbecue joint in the entire Northeast. It happened to be located in Syracuse, New York. It's called Dinosaur Barbecue. But even then, I would never go so far as to claim that anything up there even close to resembles something in Texas, in North Carolina, in Kansas City. No, no, and no. And if you ever do that, you should be sent straight to jail. I understand freedom of speech, yada, yada, yada. No, not here, not then. Whenever I see an article from the New York Times about brisket or about how air conditioning is bad, I want to invade New York.
One of our texters says Vanessa eats Skyline Chili. I want to make this clear. I worked
From Cincinnati.
I worked there for 2 years. I am from
Indiana.
It's
a delicacy up there, right?
Yeah, it is. I can do...
Is it like spaghetti with salsa on it?
It's spaghetti with nutmeg, chocolate...
And ketchup?
Yeah, it's a thing.
Straight class.
I can do Skyline Dip.
No.
I can do Skyline Dip, which is
What's Skyline Dip?
Is it like, you take Skyline Chili...
You dip it in your lip like it's tobacco?
That'd be very Indiana of me. No, it's like a dip. I can do Skyline Dip, but Skyline Chili in and of itself.
Okay.
But yeah, have fun at the rodeo cook-off with the parents. That'll be fun.
I'm looking forward to it. Got my cowboy boots. Got them all taken care of, too, so they like look extra fancy.
I bought new boots.
You bought new boots?
They're sexy. They are black with rhinestones, like a rhinestone cowboy.
Keep on going with that.
And then I bought a rhinestone diamond belt. And I'm going to Nashville this weekend. And
oh, wow.
It's going to be rocking.
The fake boot city. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, bachelorette party city.
That's what I'm not looking forward to, but I'm going with a really good group of people, so I'm excited.
Living our best life.
I believe in Nashville.
Best of for Vanessa. That's what your hashtag is going to be. That's a terrible one that I just thought up off the top of my head. And by the way, guys, I do have to tell you about this. You know, a lot of people think I am from Boston. I am originally, but you know, I don't claim that anymore. But after 3 years, the Dropkick Murphys, they're back on tour for their 2022 St. Patrick's Day American tour. It starts on March 2nd at the Bayou Music Center. Also, the Bomb Pops and the Rum Jacks will be performing there live as well. And guess what? Caller number 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. You are going to be going to see the Dropkick Murphys. How about that? You're shipping up to Boston, if you will.
Other quick hits as we wrap things up. Art Briles just hired as the offensive coordinator at Grambling State.
What a sneaky dump that was.
This is unbelievable, yet totally believable.
I mean, look, I got to give the SWAC a credit. They've got some balls all of a sudden. You know, like it started off with Deion Sanders hiring him, and they're getting big-time recruits there. But to bring another legit coach into the conference... I get it. Like, guy is deplorable in so many different ways. But it's a ballsy move, you know? That conference now is actually acquiring star power, and good for them.
It is good for them. It's good for HBCUs. It's good for that in general. I think hiring somebody that has...
But he's a piece of... You know,
yeah, I mean, it's just abhorrent. It's ridiculous, and it's I could go on and on.
This is the, you know, this
take
is,
pictures or it didn't happen, Vanessa. Yeah, I will.
This is one of the reasons with Baylor folks that it's just so annoying when they all start to get sanctimonious or excited about the success of their sports teams. Because it's like, your basketball coach like covered up a murder that one time. Your football coach covered up a lot of things going on.
Literal murder, by the way.
Right. Like maybe he wasn't the coach. I don't know. Whatever the case.
No, it was the coach.
It was the coach. Yeah. Okay. I wasn't 100% sure off the top of my head. I mean, but it's the sanctimonious school. Like, it's the most sanctimonious school in Texas, and yet these things happen. But yeah, go Bears! Woohoo! By the way, you mentioned boots a moment ago. I'm sorry. I'm just all over the place right now. But the best part about my boots, you know, that it makes me look good is because on my license it says that I'm 6 feet tall, but I'm not. I'm 5'11 and something. But when I wear my cowboy boots, Vanessa, I am officially 6 feet tall.
Ooh.
I joined the club.
All right. So this is a really important question for Get to Know Your Co-host. Do you lie on the dating apps and say you're 6 foot?
No, I wear the cowboy boots because I am 6 foot when they meet. And then after that.
Do you on the dating apps, how tall do you say you are?
Yeah, every guy says that.
But that is horrible.
Why is it horrible? One time I was measured and it said I was 6 feet tall. So that's enough for me.
Meeting up with a guy that says he's 6 feet tall and he ends up being 5'10".
You guys all think we're lying anyway.
The worst.
Oh, okay, fine. But you guys all think we're lying.
Be honest about your height. It matters.
Every girl thinks that you guys are that we're rounding up.
You
an
are
inch.
Lying.
Yes, I'm just being what women expect me to be, which is 6 feet tall in cowboy boots.
Oh God.
There's an asterisk there. You can't see the small print. You can't see the if there were fine print that I could add to my dating profile, I'd put it there.
That is the worst.
No, it's not.
You better be wearing those cowboy boots in bed with women because they want somebody 6 foot.
Yeah, but hang on. Like some of you ladies, you look at like some absolute cretin who's like 6'5" and looks like he's been hit in the face with a shovel, and you're like, oh, he's so tall. It's like he has no eyeballs.
Well, but that tallness makes up for a lot of other things.
What does it make up for?
It makes up for a lot of other things.
I don't know what those other things are.
I also like guys that are a little bit bigger though. Yeah, so yeah, I like dad bods to a certain extent. I don't like guys that are super, super fit. So
he's
probably
6 foot six. Oh my God.
Should not take my advice on dating. Some girls say athletic or average build too. Totally agree with that. Scott Drew got hired up to take pictures or it didn't happen, Vanessa. We are taking pictures in Nashville. All right. I believe in Nashville.
Oh my God.
That's a Thursday. We, of course, will be back on Friday. Make sure you follow us on social media. I'm at Sports Vanessa. He's at Gallant Says. The Killer Bees are up next. We have Jeremy Branham. We have Joel Blank. Going to be a great day. All right. That's a Thursday. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
So long. Farewell.
ESPN 97.5.